Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Good morning, everyone. Patrick Conley back with you on the Rediscover Hour. It's great to be with you this morning, and it is Inauguration Weekend this weekend. So a lot of eyes fixed on Washington, and that's where we're going to fix our eyes, too. We're going to fix our eyes as to what's going on in government and what is our role as Catholics in government. Specifically, we're going to be talking about, with Jonathan Liddle and with Susanna Boley and with Bishop Serba about an upcoming event. I hope you've heard of it, Catholics at the Capitol, and that's coming up very soon. But I thought to kick us off, just so we know that the whole idea of Catholics being involved in politics in the public square is not actually a new idea, but actually goes way back to the beginning. As we are created in the image and likeness of God, we are created for community, we're created in that community to have structure. There are many, many places throughout the scriptures that speak to this. I was thinking specifically of a little passage from Jeremiah, actually, Jeremiah chapter 29. This is a letter, actually. This is a contents of the letter which the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the remaining elders among the exiles. So this is actually to the exiles in Babylon at the time. So they're in a place that's not their own. They're in a place that they have no immediate connection to. Certainly they're exiled not only from their natural homeland, but from their spiritual homeland as well. And this is the little snippet. Perhaps you've heard it many, many times, but I think it bears repeating, especially given what we're looking at today here on the Rediscover Hour. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I exiled from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses to dwell in, plant gardens and eat their fruits. Take wives and beget sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters husbands so that they may bear sons and daughters. There you must increase in number, not decrease. And then here's just the clincher verse. Promote the welfare of the city to which I have exiled you. Pray for it to the Lord, for upon its welfare depends your own. And I think that's a great missio for us to engage in as Catholics. How are we praying for and promoting the welfare of our city, locally, of our state, of our nation, and of our world? How do we actually contribute to that? And what can we do? I hope that whets your appetite a little bit for what's in store for us as we enter into this Rediscover Hour. So as I said, we're going to be talking about this upcoming event that's coming up on March the 9th. It's an exciting event called Catholics at the Capitol, and that's what we're really going to focus on a little bit during our hour together here. But before we actually get into this, we're going to hear a special invitation to this event from he introduces himself, so I'll let him tell you who he is. Here it is.
Hello, I'm Bishop Andrew Cousins from the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis, and I'm here at the Minnesota State Capitol where the 2017 legislative session is just underway. This year's legislative session brings with it many opportunities, but also some urgent challenges, from the threat of legalized assisted suicide to persistent family poverty. As Minnesotans, we're called to stand up for life and human dignity. On March 9th, you'll have an opportunity to do just that in a powerful way right here at our state capitol. I invite you to join all the bishops of Minnesota, some dynamic speakers, and over 1,000 Catholics from across Minnesota for Catholics at the Capitol, a day of inspiration and advocacy here in St. Paul. Whether you're a seasoned political veteran or a newcomer to advocacy, you'll be informed, inspired, and equipped to bring your faith into the public square and to effectively interact with your lawmakers to make a real impact here in Minnesota. Catholic voices count. Let's make ours heard. So learn more and register by visiting CatholicsAtTheCapitol.org. This is our moment. Let's go.
Let's go indeed. Thank you, Bishop Cousins, for that. That's a video that's posted. You can actually find it online at the Minnesota Catholic Conference webpage and on catholicsatthecapitol.org, as Bishop Cousins talked about. So it's a wonderful invitation to this event that we're going to be speaking about. So I can't wait to get into it. But as always, let's say a little prayer, asking for the intercession of our Blessed Mother as we begin our show today. So let's pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So that's what's coming up. I hope your appetite is whet. We'll be back in just a minute with Jonathan Liedl. Stick with us.
Backed by your prayers and your generosity, this is listener-supported Relevant Radio.
Relevant Radio has given so much for me and my family. It has taught me so much about my faith, and it really has inspired me to get up every day and fight the good fight. And it isn't easy. I mean, it's not very easy at all, especially living in a culture that I live in. Many have left the faith, and I pray for their return. I just think of how much better formed Catholics we would have been had I had Relevant Radio as a child.
Listener supported.
Relevant Radio.
There's a lot of great things that we can give our money to and that we do, but we realize that Relevant Radio might not be a part of our lives if we don't support it. And that's how much we love it.
Our need is ongoing. Please call now with your tax-deductible donation. 1-877-291-0123 or donate online at relevantradio.com.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio. Today we're talking about Catholics' role in the public square. What is our role, as we read from Jeremiah there, that promoting the welfare of the city to which you have been sent and to pray for its welfare as well. So we are talking about also this upcoming event at the state capitol on March 9th, Catholics at the Capitol. And joining me in studio now is Jonathan Liedl, who's the communications manager with the Minnesota Catholic Conference. Jonathan joined the Minnesota Catholic Conference in 2016, and prior to that, he was the communications coordinator for Catholic Rural Life. Don't know if you've heard about that, but that's a wonderful organization, wonderful apostolate as well. He's also worked in journalism for outlets such as EWTN, the National Catholic Register, and Ethica Politica. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but as a Minnesota native, he grew up in Pequot Lakes. All right, and he currently resides in St. Paul, and he is here in studio. Welcome, Jonathan.
Good to be with you, Patrick. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for being here. So, so I heard a little bit as we were chatting before the show began, that you spent some time in the blessed land to the east. Is that right?
Just across the border over there in Wisconsin, where they know how to play the game of football. Yeah, that's right.
We're making enemies even now already. Yes, right. I do have to warn our listeners that you're actually in studio with three Packers fans. So, I'm sorry.
We'll go easy on them.
Yeah, turn it off right now, I guess. No, keep listening because Jonathan, tell us a little bit about, I see you have a degree here from the University of Notre Dame in political science. So can you tell me a little bit about where did the desire to study political science, to get involved in politics, where did that start for you?
Well, I think for me, it started from a realization that the decisions we make in politics that our elected officials make have an impact on us. They have an impact on real things that matter to us as Catholics, everything from the life issues to education to poverty. And so it was an interest in understanding how that works and how to best understand the process. And I think what was really interesting, Patrick, for me was that as I was kind of studying politics and, you know, the general nature of it, I was also growing in my Catholic faith. Mm. So being able to bring Catholic social teaching, what the church teaches us about society, about the human person, and about our role as Catholics and really getting in there and getting involved in that process, I think really helped added a kind of fresh perspective and lens on politics. I think the way You know, many people think of politics now, many Catholics think of politics now as this kind of a dirty, dreary sort of affair.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of about power. It's kind of about manipulating your way to the top if you're familiar with House of Cards.
Yeah.
It's complicated. Special interests are kind of clogging it up. So I think, you know, Catholic social teaching, which we often say is one of the church's best kept secrets, is really a kind of positive, refreshing way to look at politics, to understand that there are difficulties and problems in our political system, but to really emphasize that we as Catholics are called to enter into that square, not, you know, to advance our own self-interests or to consolidate power or to impose our views and ways on other people, but really to work for the common good and the well-being of others. You cited that beautiful passage from Jeremiah at the beginning of the show, and we've got a phrase we like to say at the Minnesota Catholic Conference that we're building Babylon's good without bending to its God. Or its gods, I guess. They were polytheistic. So,
right,
and, you know, in America, we have a lot of different gods out there, from secularism to consumerism to the culture of death. And so those are very much entrenched and part of our culture and kind of around us. But even in the midst of that, we're called to work for the good and the good of others through politics.
Yeah, you mentioned the common good, which is it's a theme that runs a lot through Catholic social teaching. And that, can you give us a little bit of an insight as to what do we mean when we say the common good from a Catholic perspective?
When we're talking about the common good, it's not some kind of utilitarian sort of calculus in the sense of, you know, how can we make the best good for the most people, mm-hmm. even if that means excluding some from that or kind of using unethical means to do that. It's really this understanding that we're trying to produce the conditions in society where human beings can flourish. And we know as Catholics that there's clearly a physical component to that. People need to be healthy. They need to be fed. They need to have a roof over their heads, but also the space to be spiritual creatures as well, to have religious liberty protected, and to live among our families and live out our faith and morals. So, you know, this event we're talking about, Catholics at the Capitol, in a way is all about that. It's, you know, as Bishop Cousins said in the kind of video we played or the clip we played earlier, we have some real challenges here in Minnesota affecting the common good, affecting life and human dignity. Assisted suicide is something that was, you know, a bill was introduced in 2016 in our state to legalize assisted suicide. We know Colorado just legalized it this past November, and proponents of that that policy definitely have Minnesota in their crosshairs. So we need to stand up for that. We've also got problems of persistent family poverty in Minnesota. Financial disincentives for young couples getting married. We've got, in education, we have the biggest achievement gap between white students and minority students of any state in the country. And parents in neighborhoods, where maybe the public school system isn't as strong as it could be, they feel kind of trapped with their kids in terms of being able to get them a quality education that conforms with their faith. So, these are some of the issues that at Catholics at the Capitol, you know, Catholics from across the state are going to have the opportunity to come together and stand up for, to stand up and protect life and human dignity. We really believe that, the Catholic viewpoint on these issues, it's not just kind of one opinion among many, but it's really informed by our faith, informed by this beautiful, compelling vision of the human person. And so we're excited to bring that out into public square. We believe Catholic voices count. And so Catholics at the Capitol, really the whole idea of it is breaking down barriers between faithful Catholics out there and the political process. I think, you know, a lot of us look at politics, even at the state level, and it can seem pretty complicated. There's committees, subcommittees, we've got a biennium system, this and that, all these sorts of things that if you're not familiar with it can kind of be daunting to you if you want to get involved and bring your faith to bear. So the whole point of this day is bringing Catholics together to really be, first of all, informed and inspired about our faith and what it says about faithful citizenship, and then really turning around and equipping Catholics right after that, the morning program, to get on a bus, go to the Capitol, you know, on fire with your faith and how it applies to the public square, and have really meaningful and productive conversations with our legislators, sharing with them, you know, the issues that are near and dear to us, and kind of demystifying, I think, that whole legislative visit experience.
Right. Well, I like what you were indicating there. And I think even at the base level, one of the things that this event seems to accomplish, as you intimated there, was that there's, on the one hand, I think a lot of times amongst very faithful, devout Catholics, there's this understanding of almost as government or politics as a necessary evil. And so you just kind of say, well, you know, sure, I'll pray, you know, I'll join in the prayers at Mass and pray for the good of our elected leaders and that sort of thing. But there's really, you know, I'd rather just come therefore and be separate or something like that. But on the other hand, I think oftentimes we see in mainstream media or in the popular opinion or something like that, that really faith, the idea that faith doesn't have a role to play in the public square, kind of it's a along the lines of a fact value split, that, you know, bringing your values into the public square is not something that's welcomed. You know, we all need to approach this from the very same kind of base level understanding and not imposing. And but anyway, so it seems like this particular event is, like you said, to use your language, demystifying that and actually contradicting that in a positive, informative way, drawing faithful Catholics to be more involved and more aware of how these political issues are affecting their lives as Catholics. And then also to help the government understand that, yeah, we do have the common good, the dignity of all human beings in mind when we seek to promote things that, yes, are informed by our faith. Is that what I'm hearing you say specifically?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think, you know, we hear the phrase separation of church and state.
Yeah,
you know, it gets thrown around a lot. And I think the reality is that exists more in our minds as Catholics often than anywhere else. It's certainly not in the Constitution in the sense that people of religious faith, people with moral values are not allowed to bring that in the public square. That's absolutely not true. In fact, our founding fathers from Thomas Jefferson to John Adams all recognized that not only was bringing your faith and your morals into the political public square a good thing, but it was necessary. Without it, it kind of devolves into, you know, everyone out for himself. So, you know, it's not merely that we have an opportunity as Catholics to kind of inject our, our understanding of the human person and the dignity of the human person into the conversation, but we actually have an obligation to do it as well. So we're really excited for the day, and I'd be happy to kind of walk through it.
Yeah. Please do that. Well, first of all, actually, we'll walk through the schedule in just a moment. But first of all, I wanted to ask you, too. I mean, it's sponsored by the Minnesota Catholic Conference. And I just, in case there are listeners out there who don't, what is the Minnesota Catholic Conference? What is the Minnesota Catholic Conference?
The Minnesota Catholic Conference, we're the public policy voice of the Catholic Church in Minnesota. So the conference itself is actually made up of the seven active bishops. Here in Minnesota, we've got six dioceses, seven bishops. They are the conference. It's really an exercise of the bishop's teaching ministry.
I see.
To take the church's Catholic social teaching, some beautiful principles, and kind of look at the landscape, look at what's going on in Minnesota right now, what's going on in our communities, what's going on in our neighborhoods, and how can we apply Catholic social teaching to the issues of the day. So the bishops, they're not imposing when they take a position on an issue, because there's room for prudential judgment on some of these matters. They're not imposing their will. They're not saying, as a good Catholic, you need to necessarily agree with us on every specific instance of public policy, but they're really proposing how we might take our church's social teaching and apply it to the sometimes complex and complicated realm of public policy. So it's really a service for Catholics. And then I think when we talk about taking, as Catholics, taking those teachings and you know, talking to our legislators, I think it's important to keep in mind, you know, a legislator, especially the newly elected ones, they might have a few issues that kind of got them into office. They might have a few issues that they talked about on the campaign trail. But then, you know, there's a whole realm of policies, whether we're talking about assisted suicide, whether we're talking about education choice or family poverty relief, that maybe their opinions and their positions kind of aren't settled yet. And so, as Catholics, we have an opportunity to help educate our legislators, to help present a compelling view of how to go about tackling these policy problems. And so Catholics at the Capitol is really in many ways an opportunity to do just that, to help shape the conversation and shape the way our legislators are thinking about public policy.
Well, it's a great vision and goal for the event on March 9th, Catholic at the Capitol. We're speaking with Jonathan Liddle right now, the communications coordinator for the Minnesota Catholic Conference. And we're talking about Catholics at the Capitol, March 9th, this event for Catholics to join together to hear some good Catholic teaching and then to put that into action. So, Jonathan, now walk us through the schedule. So what's the day look like?
Yeah, well, I think you just touched on it there, Patrick. I'm going to start calling this event when I talk to people about it, the kind of deluxe royale, all-inclusive package of faithful citizenship.
You got me. Sign me up.
There you
now.
Go. Yeah, it's an all-inclusive deal. It's better than going to a Sandals resort in Jamaica. When we talk about faithful citizenship this day, it has it all. You know, other days on the Hill, other legislative advocacy days, they might put you in a position to talk to legislators about a policy and have a good conversation about that. But sometimes they lack the kind of deeper meaning. Why are we doing this? What's really at work here? How does this connect to my faith? On the other hand, you might have a seminar or a study day where you're learning about really important, compelling principles connected to our faith. But there maybe aren't opportunities immediately to kind of put those into action. So I think the part that I'm most excited about for Catholics at the Capitol is that it's kind of a one-stop shop of faithful citizenship. It's an opportunity to come and to be informed and inspired about what our church teaches about faithful citizenship and what it teaches about these different issues, and then to turn around and jump on a bus and go to the Capitol and have conversations with your legislators about these important issues and really helping shape the way they view it. So the day, the official program begins at 9 a.m. at the River Center in St. Paul. And so this is, again, on Thursday, March 9th. So at the River Center at 9 a.m., but doors open at 7 a.m. And of course, with an event like this, Catholics at the Capitol, bringing Catholics from every corner of the state and all seven of our bishops there would be, off on the wrong foot if we didn't start with Mass. So there's an 8 a.m. Mass, optional, of course, if you're not going to make it there in time. But an 8 a.m. Mass really to, I think, provide us a foundation for the day.
Yeah.
It's always important to remember, anytime you're doing advocacy or anytime you're working for any type of issue in the public square, to remember that the reason we're doing it is because of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The reason we're doing it is because Christ calls us to serve him. He calls us to serve him in our homes, in our communities, and yes, in the public square, to step into the public square and protect human life and dignity. So we've got Mass in the morning, then the morning program kicks off. It's the goal is not to make it something dry and stuffy. Just
what?
Kind of, yeah.
Oh, man, I was looking forward to that.
I guess people don't, not as many people, Patrick, go for that. But, we've got some dynamic speakers coming in. We've got Bishop James Conley.
Who's wonderful.
He's the bishop down in the Diocese of Lincoln, Nebraska. He's really an incredibly insightful and edifying social commentator, really looking at the forces kind of at work in our nation, in our society, in our culture, and what our Catholic faith has to say about that. So he'll be providing some compelling and insightful looks into faithful citizenship there. And then we've got Gloria Purvis, who she's an EWTN personality. She's also the founder and president of Black Catholics United for Life. She's a really fun, dynamic, kind of spitfire of a speaker who's really going to help, I think, rally the troops, help us take, the principles of our faith, help us take this call to faithful citizenship and really compel us to take the next step and bring it in to the public square in a practical, tangible way. So after that kind of inspiration component, we'll break down the issues we're going to be advocating for on that day. Which include assisted suicide, include providing some relief for persistent family poverty, and it also include enhancing educational choice here in Minnesota. So a diverse set of issues, but they're all united in the fact that they're either protecting human life or really enhancing the dignity of the human person, which is really the core of Catholic social teaching, and which is really what unites all of the different positions that we take at the Minnesota Catholic Conference.
Yeah.
So after learning about the issues and kind of learning more about effective advocacy, we'll feed you. You get lunch and also continental breakfast included in part of the day, and then jump on the bus, head over to the Capitol, and you'll go on legislative visits with your state senator and then two state reps. And I think the beauty of this is that those meetings are already set up. You don't have to worry about scheduling anything.
So they know we're coming.
They know. Oh yeah, they've been warned in advance. I think actually, you know, some of our advocates down at the Capitol are reporting that the state senators and state reps are getting word and you know they're prepping themselves for it. So
yeah,
it's a really beautiful opportunity to have a conversation with them, get to know them on a personal basis, so that later on in the legislative session, when you know a serious issue comes up, a serious vote comes up, and you know we're asking people to get in contact with their legislators. They already know them and already have a relationship with them.
Wow, that sounds. I mean, it sounds like a great day to, like you already said, to encourage faithful citizenship on behalf of Catholics and on behalf of the state, the place in which we live and find ourselves. Jonathan, stick with us. I want you to stick around, but I also want to call into the conversation now Susanna Boley, who is the evangelization manager with the Archdiocesan Office of Evangelization and Catechesis. She earned her Bachelor of Arts in Catholic Studies at the University of St. Thomas here in St. Paul and their Master of Arts in Pastoral Ministry at the St. Paul Seminary School of Divinity. And she's also, if I might add, the producer of this show, The Rediscover Hour. So it's great to have her in studio. And she's also, Susanna, you're also a district leader for Catholics at the Capitol. Is that right?
I am, yes.
Yeah, welcome to the show. Well, So you're a district leader. What does that mean? I mean, what does that mean? What are your tasks as a district leader for this event?
Well, I will be meeting with the representatives of my district. And up until yesterday, I wasn't even sure who those people were. And it's really easy to find out who they are. I just Googled my district leaders and I typed in my address. It told me I was part of District 64. And I learned that my representative is Erin Murphy. And she lives here in St. Paul, and she earned her undergrad at the University of Oshkosh in Wisconsin. So,
oh, another Wisconsin connection.
Yeah, there's a chance that she's also a Packer fan.
<Uh-oh>. Yes. Okay. All right. So you're gonna be meeting with them. So you haven't done this before, obviously.
No,
if you didn't
I haven't.
Know who your district leader was, and so you don't. You're not like a professional public advocate then?
No.
No. Okay.
Maybe I'll become one.
Oh, well, you never know how the Lord might move. And Susanna, I don't mean to out you age-wise here, but you're in the millennial category.
I am.
Yeah. And so as a millennial, why are you interested in what would you say to people in their 20s and 30s to encourage them to come?
Yeah. Well, I think that Bishop Cousins said it very well. We need to make our voices heard. And Jonathan mentioned that there's going to be some very dynamic speakers there, including Gloria Purvis. I had the opportunity to hear her speak last summer at the University of America in D.C. And she spoke, she gave a quotation by St. Teresa of Avila during her presentation on reclaiming the public square. And she said, "Prayer and comfortable living are incompatible." And I think that as millennials, we have a great temptation to just want to remain in our comfortability. And we don't really want to get outside the box and do something that's scary. But this really isn't going to be too scary. And it's a good way to make our voices heard. And as Jonathan said, we're going to be informed, inspired, and equipped to go out and speak the message. It's okay if we don't know what all the issues are right now. We're going to learn that on the morning of March 9th.
Okay, so you don't have to come into this event actually being an expert in all the issues.
Right.
Is what you're saying. Okay, well, that's probably a good thing, especially for somebody like me, because I have a lot of research myself to do. So, Susanna, what made you say yes? I mean, what made you want to step up to the plate and do this?
I think really just recognizing the fact that it's one thing to hear about statistics and see numbers, and it's one thing to actually experience it. So when we're at the Capitol, kind of like the March for Life, people are going to go to the Capitol and they're going to be seen. And we're also going to be heard in these individual meetings that we have with legislators.
Right. Yeah, I think that's what the whole point is too, right? As Jonathan had told us before, it's getting to know these people somewhat on a personal basis to put a face with a name, as it were, but also just, I think it breaks down that barrier of understanding of, you know, we talk about government, we talk about the Capitol, we talk about those things, and it becomes this kind of, I don't know, walled institution that you can't break through. And with that being the case, then it's actually really helpful for us to see people who are actually making these decisions.
Yeah.
People who have reason and will, right, and intellect, as we understand, and that actually in inviting them into this conversation.
Absolutely.
I think it's a wonderful event. And any if you're going to give the clarion call here to the millennials, I'm putting it all on your shoulders, Suzanne.
Oh, boy.
How would you encourage them to come? I mean, yeah. What would you say to millennials, just to the peoples in their 20s and 30s, just come on out?
Great. In the words of JP2, do not be afraid.
There you go.
And in the words of Bishop Cousins, make your voice heard.
Amen. Susanna's got to actually run out and set up our phone call with Bishop Serva, which is coming up. He's going to be there at Catholics at the Capitol as well, and he's with us over the phone in just a few moments. But Jonathan, I wanted to turn back to you and just, so again, I'll ask you the same thing. Can you give us just great reasons to come, to turn out, and then tell us practically, what do we need to do to get ready for this event?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, Susanna's really taking a lot on our plate. She's being a district leader, and if someone feels called to do that, then we'd love to have you as a district leader. But, for anyone out there who's ever wanted to have a positive impact on public policy, to bring their Catholic faith into the public square to protect life and human dignity, but hasn't felt sure how to do that, hasn't known who to talk to, what to say, maybe didn't want to do it alone, I think this is a really powerful opportunity all in just one day to do that and to have a positive impact. And you don't need to know the issues inside and out. In fact, you don't even need to speak to your legislator if you don't want to. I think in many ways it's a symbolic demonstration of the Catholic footprint in this state, just showing up, meeting our legislators and showing to them, hey, we're Catholics. These are the issues we care about. And we get involved. We make a difference. And I think that can have an impact on the legislative process. So it's really, an event and a day that, as we've said before, isn't kind of stuffy, up in the sky, public policy stuff. We say, well, it is public policy, but in a way that's accessible to everyone. Mm-hmm. We say at Minnesota Catholic Conference that good public policy is family-friendly policy.
Oh, yeah.
And I think in the same way, this Legislative Advocacy Day, it wouldn't be a good one if it wasn't family-friendly. And so this is really something for Catholics of all stripes to come out to, whether you're a seasoned political veteran or you've never done advocacy in your life. It's an opportunity to come out, be informed, inspired, and equipped to make a difference. And we really want to encourage people, homeschooled moms with their kids to come down, people who don't necessarily aren't reading Politico or thehill.com every day or anything like that. And so to help kind of incentivize things, we students and kids 22 and under are free, for instance.
Nice.
As I mentioned before, we've got a continental breakfast, box lunch included as part of the registration. For people who might be, not right here in the Twin Cities, diocesan transportation is also going to be provided, which you can learn more about when you register. So if you're interested in this, if you care about life and human dignity, and you've previously, maybe not dipped your toe into the waters of public policy, this is the day to do it. All the heavy lifting is done. You just have to show up, be open, and just kind of take that step forward. So for people who want to learn more and who want to register, they can visit CatholicsAtTheCapitol.org, and Capitol is spelled CAPITOL.
Yeah, with an O, right.
Building. Okay. So CatholicsAtTheCapitol.org, it lays out everything in detail there, everything from the schedule to the speakers to the issues, and then there's a registration page there as well. So we encourage you to come. We encourage you to bring your family, bring your kids, bring your neighbor, and tell everyone this. It's really a day, as much as it is to stand up and protect life and human dignity in Minnesota, it's also a day to come together and celebrate our shared Catholic faith as well. So we're really looking forward to it, and we hope you'll be there.
Amen. Thank you. Jonathan Liddle has been with us, the communications manager with the Minnesota Catholic Conference, talking about Catholics at the Capitol coming up on March 9th. So just after this break, we're going to come back, and we're going to be speaking with Bishop Serva, who's going to talk a little bit more about this great event and what it means to be a faithful Catholic citizen. Stick with us. Rediscover.
Life is full of opportunities to show someone we love them. One such opportunity is the funeral or memorial service. Such a loving event celebrates the choices they made, the relationship you shared, and honors the memory of your loved one. Washburn McGreevy Funeral Chapels and Cremation has over 150 years of experience caring for families from all walks of life. You can trust your arrangements to locally owned professionals dedicated to excellence in end-of-life arrangements. Pre-planning your funeral is now a very common and natural part of life, because it provides you with the time to make end-of-life decisions in a calm and rational atmosphere. Start the online planning process now, or meet with a Washburn McGreevy pre-planning advisor in your home with no obligation. Choose Washburn McGreevy Funeral Chapels and Cremation by calling 612-377-2203. Washburn McGreevy presents the Daily Mass and Rosary on Relevant Radio 1330 AM.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. We're talking about Catholics at the Capitol, an event for public advocacy for Catholics, whether you're a longtime veteran of political advocacy or whether this is your first foray into that realm. It's about living our faith in the public square. And joining us now on the phone is Bishop Paul Serba, the ninth Bishop of Duluth. He was raised actually down here in the Twin Cities in Bloomington. He attended Nativity of Mary Grade School and the Academy of Holy Angels, the College of St. Thomas, and the St. Paul Seminary. He served here locally, again in the Twin Cities, at the Church of St. Olaf, the Church of St. John the Baptist in Savage, St. John Vianney Seminary, Maternity of the Blessed Virgin in St. Paul, and as a spiritual director at the St. Paul Seminary. And it's great to have you with us. Your Excellency, good morning.
Good morning, Patrick. It's great to be with you.
Yeah, thanks for being here. Well, before we get into Catholics at the Capitol and Catholics living out their faith in the public square, tell us a little bit, how are things going up in the Diocese of Duluth?
Well, gosh, you know, the Diocese of Duluth is a great place to be, and we're very much engaged in the efforts of the new evangelization up here. So it's a wonderful diocese and a great part of the state. I know many people from the Twin Cities are often up here vacationing, enjoying the lakes,
yes,
and the rivers and beautiful Lake Superior. So I landed in a wonderful part of the Lord's vineyard.
Even in January.
Well, today we have, you know, possibly this little freezing drizzle going on, which is not too exciting for us, but part of the landscape.
Yeah, but the light of the Lord is always shining, I'll bet.
Amen.
All right. So, Bishop, just to get a little bit of the theological background, we spoke with Jonathan a little bit about this particularly, but what is the church's role in the public square, and what kind of relationship should the church have with government?
Well, I think, you know, most recently, Pope Francis, in one of his more quotable quotes, you know, said, politics is one of the highest forms of charity because it serves the common good. And as he says oftentimes, kind of distilling that a little bit more, he said a good Catholic meddles in politics.
Mm.
You know, so those are some of the principles that help inform, you know, why it is or how this flows from our baptism. You know, our participation in working towards the common good is, first of all, achieved by, you know, our own personal responsibility for our family, you know, taking care of those immediately in our care, you know, through their education, through their upbringing. But then it flows from that. It extends, you know, as a good citizen in society, that we can make a difference in public life and that we strive to help those who are on the fringes of our society or the poorest of the poor. I mean, to reach out in areas of life and dignity especially. So I think, yeah, it flows from who we are, our nature as persons, mm-hmm. and our engagement in society for the sake of the common good.
Right, and that's what I hear you saying, Your Excellency, is that this is actually something that is it's very pertinent to the life of the individual Catholic. There's no pass to get out of this. Is that right?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I mean, we each can contribute in different ways. I mean, it's granted that we have different gifts and abilities and, you know, ways to exercise it. But as I mentioned, you know, flowing from our own personal responsibility to our own family, you know, trying to, in our own lives, become virtuous persons to the lives of our children or, you know, siblings, parents, everything, that flowing from that, we can engage our society as well. Yeah, so it definitely is. It's not a pass. You know, it's part of what it means to be a Christian, yeah,
right.
Catholic. So.
Right. It's not something that we, it's something that's part and parcel to our living out of our faith, and that's what we've been building on throughout the show here too. And it looks to me as if this event, Catholics at the Capitol, March 9th at the Capitol, the state capitol in St. Paul, that this is actually an opportunity to for people to, well, you know what, I guess the way I was thinking about it was, you know, as a Catholic, I go home, obviously, every day,
right,
and I take my faith home. And so it's in my relationship with my family.
Yep.
And it's in, it's just, I've come to see it as just, that's one of the ways that I do live out my faith. Obviously, I take it home with me. It's not just out in my workaday world, but it's at home.
Yes.
But when I think about, especially the farther removed from me you get, so whether it's in St. Paul as a state capital or even Washington, D.C. as a national capital, as we're looking at those things, the farther away from me gets, the more, perhaps the more intimidating the building,
right,
that basically enshrines government and that sort of thing, the more I'm challenged to see, well, how does my small Catholic voice make a difference? So in your opinion, in your expression, Bishop Serva, what is it actually that an individual Catholic's participation, what kind of change can it affect?
Yeah, and I think we have some great opportunities in this regard, and the purpose, you know, with Catholics at the Capitol is an example of a great idea that the Minnesota Catholic Conference put forward and the Minnesota Catholic Bishops was to help people build some bridges, you know, into arenas of life that maybe they're not so familiar with or maybe not as comfortable with. But by accompanying one another, we see, you know, the opportunities that we have for doing good and for, you know, affecting change and for making a difference. And from least to greatest of us, you know, there's ways we can be involved in order to, you know, highlighting the things of, I'm sure Jonathan said, protecting life and dignity.
Right.
You know, but there are, as an example, in our own state, current issues that are facing us,
yeah,
you know, a push to legalize assisted suicide as an example, and how that threatens the vulnerable and the disabled and the elderly. And mm-hmm. we can make a difference by our engagement, by making our views known, by trying to help people understand, you know, the dignity of each and every human person. Or other issues having to do with, you know, underprivileged kids that are stuck in failing schools, or too many families stuck in a cycle of poverty. Those are other issues that have been highlighted by the Minnesota Catholic Conference, that there's pieces of legislation, you know, and ways that we can, again, by our presence,
mm-hmm.
You know, by our voice,
mm-hmm.
Either through our communication via electronic means or our engagement in the community, we can genuinely, you know, make a difference for the betterment of our state and our country.
Right, right. And you mentioned presence as well. Jonathan was saying something very similar to that, that even if you're not inclined to speak directly to your legislator, that there's still value in you just showing up, right?
Yes.
Because that way it's the message is given that, you know, this isn't the viewpoint of a tired few, but this
right.
is actually so many hold this type of viewpoint.
And if we could be unified, you know, in our efforts, it adds all the more, you know, kind of punch to the voice in that.
Yeah.
When people respond at all, and, you know, granted, and this is the challenge for everybody, we're so busy, you know, in life, and there are so many things demanding our attention and challenges that we face every day. You know, I don't think the Lord expects an overwhelming, you know, to add to things,
yeah.
but ways that we can, you know, strategically and personally make a difference, it would go a long way, yeah, to improving the situations in our society.
Right. Any hopes or visions for numbers of people or people that you hope to come from the Diocese of Duluth particularly?
Well, we're hoping to have a complement from, you know, all of the regions around northeastern Minnesota. That's the goal, you know, to have representatives, you know, from each of our parishes to be able
yep.
to come. And so that it also reflects, you know, the legislative districts and, you know, across the state. So there's, you know, a personal connection, you know, from this area to this legislator or whatever. So we're hopeful. Yeah, we're trying to put out the good news. I have, you know, letters going out to my clergy, and we have efforts already in the works to try and get the word out, to
right.
make it known for people in our diocesan newspaper, the Northern Cross, which is a great paper, to other things on our website, and, you know, we're trying to get the word out. So
That's great. And so that actually leads to another question that, you know, we focused a lot on what we're hoping to accomplish in the day with within our legislature, within our elected leaders, that sort of thing, and some of the legislation that's been presented there in the legislature. But as the shepherd of the Diocese of Duluth, what are you hoping comes out of this in terms of the change of the lives of your faithful there in the Diocese of Duluth?
I think what I'm hoping for is, you know, the duty of the pastor is, you know, to present the gospel and the good news and try and encourage people in their growth of the life of holiness. And this is definitely an aspect of our lived faith. So I'm hoping for just a greater, the people up here, the Catholic faithful are wonderful folks, and they are so committed and doing so much good, you know, and this could just enhance and encourage them, you know, in their efforts, that there's a deeper formation of conscience going on, you know, that we have to wrestle with, you know, these issues. God gave us an intellect and a will, you know, in order to be formed, and it's an ongoing, lifelong journey. So I'm hoping that, you know, from that formation flows love and action, that people will go forward and feel confident and bring the good news into all these different arenas. You know, I think that's the other thing, even with our legislators and stuff, is be able to bring the witness of Jesus, you know, to the halls of legislatures and to the governor and to, you know, all over.
Right. So. It has definitely an evangelistic character to it, too, does it not?
Yeah, part of the new evangelization.
Yeah, which is I'm not trying to put words in your mouth here, Bishop, but but what I hear you saying is that actually participation in this particular event or in public advocacy in general actually is something that can feed our own individual faith, that actually helps us grow and develop and mature as followers of Jesus. Is that what I hear?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, a big insight, you know, most recently has been forming intentional disciples, you know, and that's been, I'm sure, a topic of conversation. And up here in Duluth, we've had Sherry Waddell, you know, come and speak to our priests and to our diocesan assembly. And, you know, I think, yes, this is, it's more and more an awareness for us. It's always been, you know, I mean, we're not to put our faith under a bushel basket, you know. It's
yes, I've read that
to
somewhere.
Be the light, shining, you know. And so, but again, we need to be formed in that. Sometimes our tendency might be to, well, I kind of live it privately, or you know, it's not engaged in the community or for the sake of the other. But really, the Lord says, "No, what I want you to do." And Pope Francis, you know, I'm still recalling World Youth Days, where in like Brazil, he just challenged the youth. He just said, "Go, you know, go." He said, "You don't have to feel ready; just go,
right.
You know, proclaim the good news."
Yeah, that's as I recall, that's kind of the closing of every mass, isn't it?
Pretty much.
As I like to say, okay, you've just received the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Blessed Trinity. What more could you possibly want from us, right? Yes. Now go out and carry it out into the world today.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Just one final question,
sure.
Bishop. For those who are not able to attend the event, especially outstate, and I guess I'm advocating for my own diocese down here in the Archdiocese, I'm saying, hey, if you're here local and you've got the opportunity, then you need to be there. But for outstate, if it's tougher to make the travel arrangements, to take the time to be down here, what would you encourage people who are not able to attend the event? How can they be involved anyway, and what can they do around this particular event?
Yeah, I think they can follow it. You know, I'm sure Jonathan and the Minnesota Catholic Conference on their website are going to be able to, you know, post some things. The speakers, you know, Bishop Conley from Lincoln and Gloria Purvis Scott. I'm hopeful that there'll be ways of, you know, participating, even if you're not able to be, you know, present at the event, or to, you know, kind of follow and stay informed that way. There's also, this leads into a greater piece of ongoing opportunity, and that's the Catholic Advocacy Network, which, again, on the Minnesota Catholic Conference website, you can find access to ways of participating, again, by sending out, helping people to craft things like emails sent to legislators, and, you know, how to be engaged to keep informed that way. So I guess that's what I would encourage, you know, if you can't make this, we're going to continue to have other offerings. Find ways to be informed and engaged.
Yeah. Bishop Paul Sterba speaking to us about Catholics at the Capitol and faithful citizenship. Bishop, before you go, may we have your blessing, please?
Absolutely. Patrick, it's a pleasure to be with you this morning and
thank you.
All the faithful who are listening. Yeah, I pray, Lord God, blessings upon all the listeners today, and that you might strengthen them and their baptismal call and fill them with the grace and favor, the love of your Lord, to enter more deeply into the new evangelization. May all who are listening be blessed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Bishop.
You're welcome. Pleasure.
Yeah, great to have you with us. And the event, once more, is Catholics at the Capitol. And to find out everything that you need to know about the event and to register, if you're planning on coming, please do register at the website Catholics at the Capitol, and that's Capitol with an O, C-A-P-I-T-O-L, catholicsatthecapitol.org. And you can also visit the Catholics at the Capitol page on Facebook. And it is an initiative of the Minnesota Catholic Conference. And as Jonathan Liddle earlier was saying, this is kind of the deluxe, all-inclusive political advocacy day for Catholics. So we get some great Catholic teaching from Bishop James Conley and from Gloria Purvis in the morning, preceded by Mass, Holy Mass. And then in the afternoon, we get on some buses and we actually go to the Capitol and we help to integrate the teachings of our faith on the dignity of every human being into this new legislative session. So I think it's an excellent opportunity to be together, to fellowship, and to evangelize in the public square. So that's what Catholics at the Capitol is. We will come back in just a moment to talk about other events that are upcoming in the region. So stick with us.
At this time of year, we Minnesotans have to be asking ourselves, why do we live here? The cold and the snow of winter, and the weathermen telling everyone to stay home. If you're like me, you stay in Minnesota because your family and your friends are here, and so is your heart. That's why I think you'll love Old Mexico Restaurant and Cantina in Roseville. Family owned since 1979. It's a place to go this winter. I'm Frank Pavlik, and my brother John and I would like to invite you to enjoy a family meal from Old Mexico. If the weatherman is telling you to stay home, we can bring Old Mexico to you. We cater and we'll bring you just what you need for your office parties or at home for the big game. Visit our website to view our catering menu at oldmexico.com. Relevant Radio listeners receive a 10% discount on your first catering order. We take reservations at Old Mexico at Lexington and Larpenteau Avenue in Roseville. Call us at 651-487-2847 for reservations or catering orders. Anytime is a great time to enjoy Old Mexico, just 5 minutes south of Highway 36 on Lexington Avenue.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio. Paul, we are looking at a list of events that are coming up. All kinds of things.
There are always all kinds of things.
It's a wonderful
thing. You're
never
at a loss for things to do in the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis.
It's a wonderful thing.
One thing you can do is be part of the new evangelization in our Archdiocese by proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Sign up to join in the mission by sending the text message PROCLAIMING to 84576 or go to rediscover-faith.org and sign up for evangelization updates.
The Minnesota Pro-Life community gathers at the Capitol this Sunday, January 22nd at 12 p.m. for the 42nd Annual March for Life. Join us at the Capitol grounds and influence our legislators and to support pro-life legislation and to remember all the unborn babies who have been aborted as well as the mothers who have been wounded physically, emotionally, and spiritually. For more information, visit the MCCL March for Life page on Facebook.
Transfiguration Council of Catholic Women invites you to attend a special women's morning retreat with Father Bill Baer, Father Randall Kazel, and renowned Catholic speaker Nancy Jo Sullivan. Saturday, January 28th, retreat theme is Be Still and Know That I Am God. Morning begins with Mass at 8 a.m. and confession will be offered with several vendor booths and time for personal prayer. Continental breakfast and lunch are included in the price of $15 per person. Go to transfigurationmn.org for more information and a link to purchase tickets. If you have other questions, call the parish office 651-738-2646.
Lectio Divina in Latin for divine reading, meaning to pray with scripture. By stilling your soul and opening it up to the Holy Spirit, you will find that reading, meditation, prayer, and contemplation, the four steps of Lectio Divina, will open your heart to receive the truths that Jesus wants to show you. The Office of Evangelization and Catechesis invites you to a Lectio Divina workshop with Father Jonathan Kelly at Good Shepherd Catholic Church in Golden Valley. This workshop runs from 6:30 to 8 p.m. on Tuesday, January 31st. A light dinner will be served and a free will offering accepted. Register at archspm.org/intentionalprayer.
The Catholic Charismatic Renewal Office is sponsoring their annual Winter Teaching Conference Saturday, February 4th from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Epiphany Catholic Church, Coon Rapids. The day begins with Mass led by Archbishop Hebda. It continues with the keynote address given by Father Jim Livingston on the theme, Father, Forgive Them. Workshop topics include healing, forgiveness, sin, freedom, evangelization, and more. Everybody's welcome. Registration $35. Scholarships are available. Call the office. Register online at ccro-msp.org or call 763-571-3314.
Register before Wednesday, January 25th, and save $10 on registration for the WINE Catholic Women's Conference taking place on Saturday, February 25th. Join with other women around the Archdiocese for a day of inspiration, faith, fellowship, and yes, fun. This conference will take place from 9:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. at Mary Mother of the Church in Burnsville. The theme, Small Things, Great Love, It's What We Do, is inspired by St. Teresa of Calcutta's example and St. Pope John Paul II's invitation to imitate Mary's expression of the feminine genius. Lisa Hendy and Sister Claire Mathias. For more information and to register, visit the WINE page at rediscover-faith.org or visit womeninthenewevangelization.com.
And the March for Life is next Friday.
That is true. And because of that, listeners, pay attention now. We are going to be on the Rediscover Hour. We will be on, but it will be at 10 a.m. next week.
On Friday.
On Friday, 10 a.m. on Friday. And we're going to be speaking with Enzo Randazzo about the Catholic Watchman. We're also going to be speaking about what we just heard about, WINE, the Women in the New Evangelization. So we're going to take a look at what evangelization efforts are going on here in the local church. Exciting show, but at 10 a.m. In the meantime, go to church and be the church. The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.